Leviticus chapter 24, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus 24, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. So we see that the people, not the Levites, were to furnish the olive oil for the sacred lamps in the tabernacle. And we learn from this that God wants to get the whole community involved in worship and in the operation of the tabernacle. And it's the same today. If you're a Christian, God has a job for you. He wants you to do something for Jesus. Pray. If you can't teach, if you can't preach, then pray and give and serve others. Do whatever needs to be done. You see something that needs to be done and you feel like you can do it, pray about it and do it if God so leads. But get involved. Get involved in church. Get involved in getting out the Word of God. Notice verse 2 again. And command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure olive oil. It has to be pure. That is, it's going to have to be free from any particles, leaves, or anything like that. That oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit, and that's why it had to be pure, because the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit lives in Christians. And so when we're under His control, we're going to be pure. We're not going to sin when we're under the control of the Holy Spirit. And just like He caused the lamps to shine with light, He'll cause our spiritual lights to shine with holiness. It's not always going to be welcomed by others, but it's going to be there. 3. Outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening to the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps, and in other words, he shall prepare the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. The lampstand provided the only light in the tabernacle. There were no windows, nothing else. And for that reason, it had to be kept burning continually. 5. And you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals or portions shall be in one cake. And you shall set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire to the Lord. The oil, as I said, represented the Holy Spirit. The holy bread, here in verses 5 through 7, represented the Lord Jesus Christ, who said of himself in John chapter 6, I'm the bread of life. Frankincense is incense, and it was placed beside the bread on the holy table. And the frankincense represented the aroma of Christ's life, his purity, how that aroma was so pleasing to God the Father. Verse 8, every Sabbath he shall set it, the bread, in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy to him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. So the holy bread would stay on that special table in the tabernacle for 1 week. Then it was removed, and it was eaten by the priest, only by the priest, and only in the tabernacle. And as I said, that bread speaks of Jesus. And just as the priest ate the bread, the world needs to assimilate Christ into their souls by repenting and receiving him as Lord and Savior, because if they don't, they have no life in them. And they will find themselves in hell after they die, because they won't be forgiven. You're only forgiven through Jesus Christ. 10. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp, and the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed, and they brought him to Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Debri, of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward, in other words, they put him in custody, that the mind of the Lord might be shown him. This boy was the product of a mixed marriage, which is a good argument against mixed marriages, in addition to the fact that the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And here you see why, at least one reason why. This story serves as a good example of why God says we're not to sanction the marriage of Christians with non-Christians today. You know, the name of God was so holy that the Israelites didn't even pronounce it. That's how holy it was. But this boy uses the name of God in connection with a curse. So look at 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring forth him that has cursed outside the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. The one who sinned is sentenced by the one whose name he blasphemed. And that's God. Those who witnessed his sin laid their hands on his head as a witness against him. And then afterwards, the entire assembly stoned him to death. Now, he had time to ask for forgiveness and receive salvation. If he took advantage of that, I don't know. But he did have a measure of time. Verse 13. Actually, verse 15. It says, and you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curses God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. God made it clear that those who lived in Israel and enjoyed the covenant blessings were not going to get away with dishonoring or spurning the God of that covenant, who was the provider and the protector of God's people. 17. And he that kills any man shall surely be put to death. And this is a repeat of what God told Noah after he got out of the ark. And he that kills a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. You've got to be a responsible citizen. Pay for damages that you have incurred or your animal has incurred. 19. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him. So this was fair, just punishment ordained by God. The penalty for the crime was not too severe, and it was not too lenient. The principle is this: let the penalty match the crime. 21. And he that kills a beast, he shall restore it. And he that kills a man, he shall be put to death. Notice the difference that God makes between a man and a beast. There are people today who think that a human being is no different than a monkey or a dog or a rat. That all life is equally valued. How stupid. That's what living in a post-Christian society gets you. That type of thinking. 22. You shall have one manner of law as well for the stranger as for one of your own country. For I am the Lord your God. God's system of justice is always fair. Punishment fits the crime. And it didn't matter what social class or what nationality the criminal was. If he committed a crime in Israel, he paid the penalty. And it was the same across the board. Verse 23. And Moses spoke to the children of Israel, that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp, and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. And if they would not have done that, they would have been in trouble with God themselves, because that was a command from God. Just like the death penalty for first-degree cold-blooded murder is a command from God today. God's name is holy. And his commands are right. And any person or any nation that disregards them will suffer in the long run for it. God is serious about sin. You know, we would all be dead, physically dead and burning in hell, if it wasn't for God's mercy through Jesus Christ and the grace that he provides forgiveness with through Jesus Christ and only through Jesus Christ by receiving him as Lord and Savior. We all deserve eternal hell. But when we repent and receive Christ as Lord and Savior, he does not give us what our sins deserve. By his grace, we are forgiven.